My wife and I, in a couple of weeks, would be 33 years ago we met. And over the years, like many couples, my wife and I have formed a language, like a code, that when we're in public, we can signal one another. Sometimes it's body language. If we're sitting next to each other, it might be like a tap on the leg. It would mean something like, "You're going too far, chill." It could be like a facial expression where it's like, "Hey, that's enough." I'm sure a lot of people have that system kind of worked out. Why would we even have something like that? We have something like that to avoid those awkward moments. You know those moments when things are going well in a public space and then someone says something crazy and it changes the whole atmosphere and it becomes kind of very hard to recover. One such moment took place in the house of Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. So let's consider what caused that moment and how Jesus dealt with it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to pick up in verse 38. I'll be reading out of the ESV. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? It reads, "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Almighty God and most merciful Father, we humbly submit ourselves to you. We fall down before your majesty, asking that your word would be deeply rooted in our hearts and produce much fruit. We pray for more than temporary joy, and we pray that the cares of this world not choke out your word. We need wisdom from heaven and wait in anticipation for what you will impart in us, your children, this day. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The message today is simply titled Priorities. Priorities are the guiding values and commitments that determine what receives our first attention. What is our greatest devotion? What do you deeply invest your time in? What do you deeply invest your energies and your resources in? They reveal what matters most. Not what you say, but how you choose, but how you live. Priorities are not what we intend to value. They are what our lives consistently reveal that we value. Our text today gives us a quiet scene with a loud message, because in it, Jesus confronts not sin, but misplaced priority. Martha and Mary are friends of Jesus, along with their brother Lazarus, whom Jesus would later raise from the dead in John chapter 11. By this point in Jesus's ministry, he is well known. But just because you're well known, it does not mean you are well liked. He's a controversial figure. There were towns that he would go into that they would say to him, "We don't want you here." And there are still places today where Jesus just is not welcome. Luke tells us, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." We don't just welcome anyone into our homes. So the question is Jesus welcome in your home? Why do I ask a question like that? Your home represents your life. It is where your priorities are most visible. See, if someone goes into your home, it says a lot about who you are. What you value most eventually shapes how you live behind closed doors, especially. So I ask you, is your church you and your home you the same you? How are you at home? How do you live? How do you speak? How do you interact with others when seemingly no one else is watching? Does it change when you're in public? Would it change if you were constantly conscious of the presence of God? Is Jesus welcome in your home? In our homes, it appears that there is no audience. There is no need to perform. Our public persona is set aside. What fills your schedule? What fills your mouth? What conversations are you having? What's on your screen? These things quietly but clearly reveal what holds first place in your heart. It actually reveals your true priorities. Our homes show us what we make time for. It reflects what we rush to protect and what we are willing to neglect. It reveals what is forming you. What you consistently listen to, what you consistently think about, what you give your attention to within the walls of your home, those are the things that are shaping who you are becoming. When Christ is central in your home, when Christ is central in your home, his presence influences everything. It influences your responses. His presence influences how you live. His presence should establish your priorities. But when he is peripheral, when he is present but kind of on the side, even good things can begin to crowd what is absolutely necessary. When Jesus enters Martha's house, he exposes a deep truth for us as well as for Martha. It is possible to welcome Jesus into your space without giving him the center of your life. A home could be filled with all kind of activity and still be missing the most important thing. Ultimately, your home is a mirror. It reflects your priorities. It reveals if Christ is simply a guest you accommodate or the Lord who sets the tone. If he's the one who actually sets the agenda. What is most visible in your home is often what is most true about you. Martha welcomes Jesus into her home for a meal. I'm sure Mary was helping her to prepare. But at some point, Mary decides to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his teachings. What Mary was doing does not seem odd to us, sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning. But in that day, it was not acceptable. But she did it anyway. And Jesus, the master teacher, did not send her away. In our last scene, Jesus, when dealing with the Good Samaritan, was dealing with a statement. What is it to be a neighbor? But there was also another underlying thing going on there. It was the issue of race. That's why it was mentioned he was a Samaritan, because they hated the Samaritans. Here, the issue is priority, but at the same time, gender is also placed on the table for us to consider. Mary does not even speak in this whole scene, but her posture is revealed. Sitting at the feet of Jesus reveals a heart posture. It reflects submission. It reflects anticipation. We come to church because we submit to the will of God. We come to the church with anticipation that we will hear words of life from the Lord, and it is imparted to us by the Holy Spirit and is going to do something. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. In our previous text about the Good Samaritan, Jesus says to the religious leaders and to us, don't just stand there, do something. And now it appears that he is saying, don't just do something, sit here. Which is correct. Well, both are. This text is not about two different personality types, like the A personality and the B personality. No, this text is about priorities. There is a right time for everything. Service is extremely important, but learning is absolutely essential. The question is, what does this moment demand? What should be the priority in this moment? We are not here to judge Martha, but we are here to learn from Mary. We actually need Martha. We need someone to change the Pampers. We need someone to cook. We need someone to clean up. When you're on the clock being paid to be Martha, you will not keep your job if you think you're going to be Mary. This is about what is necessary at that specific time. This is about priorities. For you to be right here, right now, today, as a Mary, at the feet of Jesus to learn, it took many Marthas. It's a lot of background work that goes into a service. Someone is here cleaning. Someone is here setting up the music. Someone is preparing to worship through song and lead the congregation in worship. Someone is preparing a message. That all happens well before we have a service. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. It is good to serve. It is right to work, but good things can compete with best things. Martha is doing something good. She opens her home to Jesus. She prepares a meal for Jesus. She serves Jesus. Her problem is not her work. Her problem is distraction. What has you distracted? What are your priorities? There are many things that can distract us. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. The danger is not only evil activity, but letting good activities crowd out the best activity. Service without presence leads to frustration, not fulfillment. So sometimes we think, if I just do, I will be fulfilled. But you need presence first. The text says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care? Remember the disciples saying that in the boat. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Luke tells us that Martha was distracted with much serving. The word here implies she was being pulled apart. It is not that the task was too much for Martha. The problem was Martha made too much of the task. Her busyness reflected something. It reflected her unsettled heart. The text says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. When priorities are misaligned, everything you do, including ministry, becomes heavy. When your priorities are out of order, there's going to be chaos. Things will not fall into place. Jesus identifies her inner state before correcting her outward activity. He identified what the root of the problem was first, because misplaced priorities will always affect your soul. Martha says, Lord, Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. There is a teaching moment going on. Jesus is there with his disciples and he's teaching. Martha comes and disrupts those that are listening to the teaching. You know what distractions in a person always brings about? Distractions in other people. That's that awkward moment that I talk about that my wife and I just. Look what took place here. She was busy being distracted. She was anxious. Things were going on in her. And then she comes in the public space while Jesus is speaking and says, Lord, don't you even care? I'm doing all of this work and she's just sitting here. Martha started out, think about this. She started out with concern for doing something for Jesus. I'm inviting him into my home. I'm going to make a meal and accommodate and make him comfortable. And somewhere along the way, when her sister says, I'm going to sit. I'm going to listen. I'm going to take advantage of the most important thing that's going on in this moment. Martha, who could have done the same thing. Hey, this is what we got. Hope you like it. But I'm here to receive as well. Or she could have just kind of went on doing what she was doing. But no. Look what happens. You know when someone starts kind of having an attitude, but they're not fully revealing it yet. She probably didn't just walk over to Jesus and start saying that. It might have been like looks, might have been handing people stuff kind of with a different body posture. You guys know how that goes. Sometimes we think everything's fine. We start seeing certain things happening, like, whoa, everything's not fine. And then it comes. That's what seems to have happened in this scene, right? Because it builds. That's why I try not to speak to myself. I try to make sure that I'm always directing my prayers to God. Because we start working ourselves up. Next thing you know, she comes out of her face in this public space and everyone's sitting there like, well, here's an awkward moment. That's what I love about Jesus. He didn't meet her with the same kind of stuff she was putting out there. Him saying, Martha, Martha, it's like, dear daughter, little sister, listen. That's how he approached it. Listen, we can become useless despite all of our efforts and hard work once we pick up the wrong attitude. Matter of fact, our attitude towards others reveal our devotion to God. We're not having attitudes with the church and with people and with our family members and we're great with God. Mm-mm. It is a display of something that's going on the inside. If you are not sitting at the feet of Jesus and allowing sitting there to shape your attitude, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have beef with your sister and other people that are closest to you. And once that happens, you know you're not helping anybody on the side of the road. Like in the last story, Jesus gently but firmly says, one thing is necessary. Mary chose to sit at his feet and listen. This was not a posture of laziness. This was a posture of discipleness. Before we can do anything for Jesus, we first must receive from him. Priority is not about doing more, but about choosing what comes first. One of the things that we talk to the worship team about and the leaders is we have to keep our intimacy with the Lord. I have nothing to give you unless I'm first receiving. It's going to fall flat. It's going to be performance-based. That's not what God wants for us, especially in the gathering. In the gathering, one thing is necessary: the preaching and hearing of the word. Make it a priority to get to church on time. Like, what are your priorities? You know what the devil wants you to do? Be distracted. When should you be preparing for church on Sunday morning? On Saturday? What time you get home, what time you engage in activities, and what time you cut those things off talks about your priorities. It talks about what's important to you. Listen, you could catch a flat tire, but not every Sunday. You're not catching a flat tire Monday through Friday because you lose your job. It shows what's important. Why is that so important? Because you cannot rush into the service midstream and actually be in the place to receive properly. If you don't like certain things that's going on in the church service, you know what would be a good thing for you to do? Come early and pray. Lord, teach this man how to preach. whatever your prayer needs to be. How is your heart prepared to meet the Lord when you're running into service late? Martha was in the same place with Jesus, and yet she was far away. I've said this before. I watched the church service. Like, I could see you guys. I see somebody crying, someone taking notes, someone just being affected by the word, and someone sleeping. That's worse than what Martha was doing. And it's not like, you know, I had a really rough night, like something happened and I dozed off, or the sermon just not hitting this week. All right, fine. But if that's on a regular basis, like, where are your priorities? What's important to you? What do you really think you're gaining from that? Mary chose intimacy. She understood that what Jesus was saying would be impactful. Listening comes before labor. Worship actually fuels service, not the other way around. When we prioritize Christ's presence, our service is going to flow from love. Not from pressure, because I'm going to start putting pressure this year, but it needs to flow from love, God, I love you, and you cannot love what you do not know. You have to hear. You need to be here. How has the intimacy with the Lord in this past year impacted you? Are you serving? We need help in every area of the church. We always need help. Your service should be an overflow of your intimacy with Christ. It should flow from your heart. Go in the bookstore, grab an application. On the wall there, we have a list of places to serve. Get involved. But even before that, as you can, come out on Wednesday night. Come out to Bible study on Friday night. Come to the worship conference and see why is it that we sing certain songs, because they teach us good theology. What is it to be a worshiper? One day my daughter was telling one of her girlfriends in school, my father cries all the time. And when she saw me, she was like, he cries all the time? Like if he stubs his toe or something like that? And she's like, no. Like she had to put it in context. It's like, no, when he is worshiping. So often when I'm there in my seat and I think about I am a walking, living testimony of what God has done. That he's made beauty from ashes, that he is the lifter of my head. Tears of joy fall from my eyes. I'm worshiping and not only rejoicing about what God has done, but in the community of believers, knowing others that have their hands raised, that tears are falling, that shouts are going out from their lungs, is for the very same reason. Jesus says Mary's choice would not be taken away from her. Meals in, task finished, applause fades. But time at Jesus' feet will endure forever. These are eternal priorities. They outlast any temporary demand. Our focus this year is going to be on evangelism, desiring for others to sit at the feet of Jesus. We should be those that are inviting our neighbors. We should be those that would speak up. Those that would speak out, pray even for yourself, Lord, give me a love for the lost. Look how good God has been to you. When we have nice stuff like, I have this kind of car and it does this and it works this, we'll tell someone, if you're going to get a car, get a Toyota. They never break down. And you don't want to tell people about Jesus? Jesus does not rebuke Martha for serving. You know what he does? He invites her to reorder her loves. Jesus does not tell Mary to get up, nor does he tell Martha to sit down. The call here is not to abandon responsibility, but to anchor it in its right priority. When Christ becomes the center, everything else finds its proper place. You can come up, worship team. We're going to prepare for communion. In this text, we see that Martha was distracted because of much serving. Her work actually is good. What she was doing was good. What she was doing was even loving. But it pulled her away from the greatest gift because of her priorities. Jesus himself. That's the priority. Being with him. Being in his presence. Hearing him speak. Mary chose to sit at his feet and to receive. And Jesus said, one thing is necessary. One thing. You can come up, leaders, prepare to give out the elements. We're going to take communion.